We're on Daf Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph, about 10 lines down, 12 lines down from the top. Ein Ton Kibus. And the Mishnah says that only the Makom Adam, the exact pinpoint place where the Dam fell on the Beged, that's the place that needs Kibus, nothing else. So the Gemara says, Mina Hani Mili. How do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa says, Yochel, I might think, Nitas al Miktas Beged Yehekala Begeton Kibus. In other words, maybe it's a din in the Beged itself, that the Beged needs Kibus. Even though there was Nitas Adam on Miktas Ad Beged, he still has to be Mechabes the entire Beged. And we would learn the halacha of Kibus Beged here from Tzaras. The Chazal say, Toras Kohenim in Tazria, Esa Sherbo Hanega, that you have to be Mechabes, even part of the Beged that's outside of the Mokum Tzaras. And let's equate Kibus in Dam Chatos to the case of Tzaras. And the answer is Talmud Lomar, we derive from the Pasuk by Yikra Vav, Asher Yizah Oleha Tchabes B'Mokom Kadosh, Lomarti L'chayel B'Mokom Shenitas Olav Dam Bilvad, only the exact spot where the Dam fell. The Gemara proves that our Tana is Rabbi Yehuda. We learned that at Mishnah, Dovashu Roy L'Kabal Tuma. The Mishnah says that only a beggar that's Roy L'Kabal Tuma. Stomach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, organized this Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah, Kishitas Rabbi Yehuda, that even in the case of Or, that's Mechusa Machshava, if it's not Mechusa Maisa, it requires Kibus. So even though in its present state it's not Mekabel Tuma, but it's Roy Lekabel Tuma. And the reason for that is because he hasn't yet decided if he's going to use the hide as is in its natural form, or if he's going to shape it and form it and perfect it to make it into some sort of utensil. But nevertheless, since it has the potential, it's right to be used as is, as a mat or whatever purpose, and therefore it would be Mekabel Tuma if and when he decides b'machshavto that this is the way he wants to leave it. Since he has that potential of machshava, therefore there's a chovas kibus, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says davar roy lekabel tuma, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah says that it's got to fall; the dam has to fall on some garment that's roy lekibus. What are we coming to exclude? The Gemara says lemute kli. Let's say, for example, you have a wooden kli or a metal kli, and dam chatas falls on the kli. In such cases, no requirement of kibus, because debar greater. All you need to get off the dam is just to simply scrape it off the surface level. There's no absorption of the dam in the fabric of a cloth, and therefore, it's not something that's royal kibus, meaning that you need kibus in order to get out the dam. Now, kishem shabeged shenitas olav dam chatas ton kibus, kach kli ton girud. It seems that there is a requirement of girud to scrape off the dam in a case of a kli etz or a kli mateches. And if that be the case, since the svasemes, you require azara, and that's where it has to take place. So then we have two categories of kalim that apply, to which we can apply the parish of kibus. One requires kibus mamish, that's called a royal kibus, and then we have those kalim like eitz and mateches where it's bar greda, and greda means to scrape it off, and then you require scraping it off, and again in the azara according to svasemes. The Mishnah says, Echad ha-beged v'echad ha-sak, even a sackcloth, v'echad ha-ar, and also a hide, all these need kibus. The Gemara wants to know about ar. Is it possible to do kibus on ar? L'memra, shall we assume the ar bar kibusu? Because otherwise, why would the parasha of ton kibus apply to the ar? And it's interesting why the Gemara didn't ask this question at the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that or once it was stripped off the animal, it requires kibbutz. Why the Gemara wait to ask this question until the Sefer of the Mishnah, when we have this whole list of beged and sock, etc., etc.? So there's one of the Achronim, the Lashem Zevach, he says that on the beginning of the Mishnah we could have answered that really there is no shaychus, there's no possibility of kibbutz in the case of R. But even though kibbutz doesn't operate, it's not meaningful in the case of R, nevertheless it's gzeres hakosa that it requires kibbutz. But now that the Tana has listed sak and R, that they require kibbutz, it's not based on some sort of a mute or some sort of gzeres hakosa. For example, there's no mute other than a kli that's not ton kibbutz. So it must be that it's not gzeres hakosiv, but rather is some shaychus of kibbutz in the case of R. So the Gemara asks, well, how could that be? V'raminu, we have a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos at the end of Masechta Shabbos regarding the isur kibbutz b'Shabbos, hoisa olav lashleshes. We have a kar shel beged, and there's rok or tsoa that fell on top of this kar, which is made of beged, is mekancha b'smartut b'shabbos. He's allowed to wipe it off with a dry, wipe off this rok or tsoa with a dry cloth. He's not allowed to pour water on it to clean it off. Why? Because of kibbutz. But then the Mishnah says, Hoysa shel R, let's say this lashleshes, this kar, which loosely translates as a pillow, even in modern Hebrew, one wants to remove the filth on Shabbos. So you can use, as we said before, a dry rag without rinsing it off with water. Rinsing would be kibbutz, which is an av malacha on Shabbos. And then it says, Haisa shall ar, if the pillow was made of a hide, then no sein oleh mayim achetichlet, there's no kibbutz with regard to ar. And if that be the case, we wonder why the Mishnah says there is a din of kibbutz in the case of dam chatas on ar. After all, it's not about kibbutz. Om rabbi lo kasha, ha rabbonin vaha acherim. The Mishnah in Shabbos is often can be attributed to the Chachamim, whereas the view of Acherim is a different view, and Acherim here means Rabbi Meir. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa. So again, it's Rabbi Meir who's going to maintain the position that there is a possibility of Kibbutz B'R, and that we'll see here in the Braisa. Habeged vasak mechabso. In other words, there's no possibility of kibbutz in the case of R. It's only in the cases of sak and beged. So that if dam chatas falls on either a beged or a sak, you need kibbutz. However, hakli va'ar. Now again, when we talk about kli, we're probably talking about a kli mateches, an or, which is a hide. In those cases, it would seem that the Tanakhama would be about to say that there's no kibbutz, but the Brice quotes Achirim Omrim Abegid Vasak Ve'or Mechabso. So the Tanakhama here, although he doesn't spell out that there's no kibbutz, but he does say in the case of R, megardo, megaro, which sounds like he's scraping it off, and there is no din of kibbutz. But Rabbi Meir, he quoted as Acherim, maintains that even R requires kibbutz. Vakli megaro, and megaro. Only in the case of a kli do we do away with the requirement of kibbutz. So then if we take this machlokes tanoim as it is recorded here in the Braisa, then the Tanakama, who holds that in the case of leather, there's no din of kibbutz, it's only a din of grera, of scraping, whereas Rav Meir would say that there is kibus even in or Sabai now is going to resolve the original kasha, our Mishnah, which says that there is a requirement of kibus in or reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah Shabbos, which says you're allowed to rinse a pillow on Shabbos if it's made of leather, means it's not called kibus. That reflects the sheet of the Rabbanan of the Brice, who do not consider leather as something that's subject to kibus. Kiman azla hodi omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi. We have a statement of Rav Chiya bar Ashi, who says Zimnin Sagiyan on various occasions, Havika Imno Kami de Rav, I was in the presence of Rav, Vishakshichi le Mesane Bemaya. Mesane means a sandal. Bemaya means, of course, in water. Vishakshichi means I would rinse it out, or perhaps sometimes it means to rinse it out very thoroughly with water. And the underlying halachic justification for this is kiman kirabonon. This reflects the sheet rabbonon that there's no kibus in leather. Rava now disagrees with Abai. Omar Rava umika lamandi omar orlav bar kibus. Is it possible that there is such a tano who would hold that there's no kibus in or? How can you contradict the pasuk in Chumash? And the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Gimel says, "Maksiv abeged o ashsio erev o kol kli ha'or asher techaves." And here it says explicitly, we're talking about a kli or something made of leather, and yet it says techaves, clearly indicating that you can wash, you can do kibus in the case of leather. Elomar Rava, therefore Rava says that we're going to resolve this contradiction in a different way. Kra umasnisen birachin. Everything depends upon what kind of leather you're dealing with. There's soft leather and there's hard leather. The Mishnah, which tells us that our Mishnah, that there's kibus of dam chatas in the case of or, that's talking about Rachin, that means soft leather. You can launder soft leather. Ki pligi bekashin. So now the pasuk that says chetechubas is referring to soft leather. We have the sheet of the Tanakhama that there's no such thing as kibus in leather. That's when we're talking about hard leather. That's called kashin in the language of the Shas. And Tanakhama hold that this kashin is not subject to kibus, whereas Rabbi Meir holds that even in the case of kashin, there is a possibility of kibus. So Rava now undermines the shita of Abaye, and Abaye's interpretation that our Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Meir, because basically in the case of soft leather, even the Chacham, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Meir would agree that it's subject to kibus. And if we assume that our Mishnah is talking about a case of soft leather, that's the usual leather that's stripped from the hide, then our Mishnah is l'kuli alma. Nobody would disagree. You want to talk about kashin in hard leather, then you can introduce the brayis of the machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara asks the kashan Rava. V'ha'amar Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says, again, this is, I assume, the same Rav Chiya bar Ashi that we had before. I'm not sure. Zimnin sagin avikaim no kami derav. That's sort of a dead giveaway that we're talking about the same Rav Chiya. Ve'ushchivi le masani b'maya. And I would rinse his shoes off in water on Shabbos. Now, how is this possible if, according to Rava, soft leather is something subject to kibus, and the Melechus kibus would have been violated, the kashin kirabon? And unless we answer that Rav Chiya bar Ashi was referring to a story about hard leather shoes, and that would reflect the sheet of the Tanakhama that kashin is not subject to kibus and therefore is mutter, Rabbi Meir would have said this was a violation of Melechus Doraisa. Hadar Amar Rava. Now Rava Hadar means he changed his original position.
Lav milsi diamri, what I said to resolve the contradiction is incorrect. Neku nemale likra dechik sivan berachin sivan. We'll have to absolutely commit ourselves to the position that what it says in the pasuk is, meaning that it's subject to kibbutz, is a rachin situation. It's a soft leather. Milo askinan beklei achsalgia haboyim mimedina sayam. Aren't we dealing in this pasuk with the case of kelim that are made of hard leather? Achsalgia is boiled leather, and they were brought in mimedina sayam from some far off country. And yet, despite that fact that this is made of hard leather, nevertheless, the Torah says it requires kibbutz.
So Rav had originally interpreted the pasuk in the parash of Negoim, where the Torah mentions kibbutz with regard to Beged Or, as referring to rachin, to soft leather. And that's why soft is subject to kibbutz according to everybody. And that's going to be our Mishnah of Dam Chatas. But now Rava is rejecting, he's removing that statement, because are we going to say that the pasuk is referring to soft leather? Is it not true that, as a rhetorical question, that the pasuk is talking about even hard leather? Shlukim. Shlukim means they're boiled. And they come, as we said, from Medina Sayam. Uka Omar Achmona Niboy Kibus. Nevertheless, the Torah says, even though these are hard leathers, they require kibbutz. So Rav is only making really one change. What he's moving back on and canceling is his understanding of the pasuk is referring specifically to soft leather. He doesn't want to maintain that. The Torah doesn't seem to specify. In a general sense, the Torah l'chora would include all types of leather. And therefore, El Amar Rava, Rava now repeats more or less what he said before, that we cannot prove from the din of kibbutz beged in the case of taras of negoim that you could be machabes even or that's kosher. And the reason for that is because taras is different. Again, as a general rule, we can always say that you talk about kibbutz, you're talking about soft leather, and that's going to be our mishnah of damchatos. But nevertheless, in the case of the Torah of Neged Tzaras, we can talk about hard leather as well. And why is that so? Tzaras came in the Migufe Kaparche. In other words, in the Or itself, there's a spreading out of the Nega. Is Mechalchole. It somehow softens up that part of the leather. Mashvile Rach. So that the Or itself is kosher, but it became soft as a result of the Nega itself. And therefore, if as a result of the Tzaras, where the spot is of the Tzaras, it can be laundered because it's soft, then, again, in our Mishnah we're talking about soft leather as well, but not because of Nega Tzaras. And the Pasuk in Chumash is talking about both hard and soft leather, and in the case of hard leather in the spot where the taras is, that's where it's going to be softened up. Rav is still not totally happy here, even though lechora the pieces of the puzzle are fitting into place. He says, "Amar Ravi kashli ha kashli." I'm left with the following question. We're taking a look now in Sadi Dalet Amid Beis, and that is Karim uksosos derachin ninhu. These various kinds of cushions and pillows are generally speaking soft. Haderech lasosam rachin kidei sheyuchlu lishkav aleihem. You don't want to sleep and rest on something that's hard. And therefore, it makes sense that these should lend themselves to kibbutz insofar as the leather is soft leather. And yet, usnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos that hoysa halashleshes nesuna al karshal or nosinola maimlena kosad shetichle. Because he can remove the lichluch, any sort of filth, from this pillow, which is made of leather, by simply pouring water on top, meaning that it's not subject to kibbutz. Now, here we're talking about rachim, because that's what they use, that's the kind of leather they used in the manufacture of these pillows and cushions. And despite the fact that they're rachim, the Mishnah Shabbos is committed to the position that it doesn't lend itself to kibbutz or any violation of kibbutz, and therefore you can put mayim on top of it in order to clean them. So that's the kasha that Rav is asking now, because according to everything that we've said until this point, it would seem that soft leather is subject to kibbutz, which would mean on Shabbos that to pour water over soft leather and clean it would be a violation of lechas kibbutz. And yet, the Mishnah allows it. Elama Rava, kol kibbutz de lesle kiskus. In other words, you need what's called shifshuf. When you take two sides of whatever the substance is that's pliable and you rub them together, that's called kiskus. Just one second. Oh, scrubbing, he translates it. Okay, scrubbing, you know, you take one part of the material with the other and you scrub it together. In each hand, he grabs onto a different part of the garment. He rubs back and forth. And that's what we call kibbutz. So kibbutz is not just, you know, pouring water on something that's filthy. It requires a much more, shall we say, aggressive kind of cleaning process, which is called kiskus. And without kiskus, lo shmei kibbutz. In other words, when the Mishnah in Shabbos allows you to pour water on soft leather pillows or cushions, there's no scrubbing involved, and therefore that's not called kibbutz. Again, the question is, why isn't it kibbutz derabbanan at least? And that's where the Gemara clarifies. He says, "Hod the Omar, Rab Chiya bar Ashi, Zimnin Sagin Avikaim no Kami de Rav, Veshachshechei Le Misani Bemaya." Now, this is a little tricky because here what we're seeing is kiskus of the R of the hides. And Lechora, how is he allowing that on Shabbos? And the answer is shikshuch in aval kibbutz lo. In other words, shikshuch of these shoes, you know, the rubbing of the scrubbing of the shoes in Mayim was allowed on Shabbos, but not to be mechabes al yidei shifshuf. Well, let's translate the word shikshuch as rinsing as opposed to scrubbing. And he's saying that in the story of Rav Chiya in front of Rav, they did the shikshuch, that means the pouring of the water over the nalayim, in a sense rinsing, I guess you'd call it, but they didn't do kiskus. And kiskus means to really do a serious not a shikshuch, not a rinsing, but a serious kind of scrubbing, as we said before. So we're really making a fundamental distinction as far as meleches kibbutz on Shabbos is concerned, between rinsing, which is called shikshuch, and kibbutz in this case, which means shifshuf. So kibbutz means shifshuf, and that's considered rubbing, and that's prohibited. So now, according to Rava, Iberachin, you have two options here. You could say that we're talking about soft leather, ukidiri akol, meaning that if these shoes were made of soft leather, everybody agrees that you can be mechalik, you can make this distinction between rinsing and scrubbing. And in the case of scrubbing, it's asur. That's going to everyone. Even the Rabbanu would agree to Rabbi Meir's position that there's shikshuch, that there's kibbutz in the case of oros, as long as they're soft, and therefore we're not going to allow you to be mechabes in a line. But iba koshim, if on the other hand the case here was a case of hard leather, then ke'acherim, then we can only rely on the shita of the acherim. So again, you're talking about nalayim that are made of very hard leather, and we're going to have to say that why is it asur to do the kibbutz on this nalayim? That only can be understood reflecting the shita of acherim, who hold that even oros kashim, even though the hide itself is very tough, nevertheless shayach kibbutz, it lends itself to kibbutz. However, according to the Tanakhama, in the case of Oros Koshim, there is no possibility of violating Kibbutz. So Gemara asks Akash, raises an objection on Rava, who says that Kibbutz without Kiskus, rinsing without scrubbing, is not called Kibbutz. Ihochi, if that be the case, then Beged Nami, even in the case of a Beged, we should say that if there's no Shifshuf, if he doesn't take two sides of the Beged and rub them together, that's not called Kibbutz. And yet the Mishnah says that Lashleles Hanasuna Al Gavi Beged Mekancha Bismartut, the Einan Osein Olehel Mayim. It means the Mishnah differentiates between a leather pillow and a cloth pillow. In the case of a leather pillow, you're allowed to even pour water on, and it's not kibbutz. But however, and that makes sense because he's only doing rinsing and he's not doing scrubbing. On the other hand, the Mishnah prohibits, in the case of a cloth pillow, to use mayim. It only permits using a rag. And the question is, why shouldn't we apply the principle of Rava and go a step further? And if there was no shifshuf and there was no scrubbing, it was just a matter of rinsing, why shouldn't that have to apply even to a beged? Why does the Mishnah require that you use a smartut, some sort of dry rag, to clean it off, but not mayim? And the Gemara answers, because with regard to beged, shriyaso zehu kibuso, that the way to clean and launder a beged is to take the beged, take the cloth, and soak it in water. And even if he doesn't do any scrubbing on it, by taking two sides and then rubbing them together, nevertheless it's considered kibbutz, because Shriya itself is kibbutz. And I once heard from my Rebbe Zichron Levracha that when we speak about Shriya Zu kibbutz, we mean it's a maisa mimaisa kibbutz. I remember he compared it to Hagasa in Meleches Bishul. Now, there's a big problem here, because even if there's no kibbutz in Or, and the reason for that is because he's not scrubbing it, he's only rinsing it, but why don't we worry about schita, that maybe he'll squeeze some liquid out of the solid. And the question is whether Or that has liquids in it, absorbed in it, is shayach schita. Because if you can assume that there is schita in Or, then the Gemara, which makes the distinction between Or and Beged, l'chor, that's a problem. Because you're going to have to assume that there's no schita in Or, whereas Beged has a shash schita. But be that as it may, we get back to the Gemara, and the Gemara clarifies, Rava l'tamei, d'yomar Rava, Zorak Sudar Lamayim, if a man takes a beged and he throws it into the water, even without scrubbing it, Chayav, he has to bring a chatas from Aleches Malabe. And that's what we said before, Shriyosu Zoe Kibuso, it's a Maisa Mimaisa Ha Kibus. And Rava goes a step further and he says, Zorak Zera Pishton Lamayim, Chayav. Here we're talking about Meleches Ria, planting. And he took a seed, in this case a flax seed, he threw it into water, and he's chayav. So let's understand these dinim. The Gemara says, Bishleim Sudar Ovid Kibbutz. Ravu says that if you soak a cloth in water on Shabbos, you're chayav. That I can understand, because he is, in so doing, cleaning off the beggar. Or as we said, it's Maisa Mimaisa Ha Kibbutz, and he's chayav from Meleches Malavin, which is the Av of Kibbutz. Ella Zera Pishta my time. What's the problem with throwing seeds, in this case flax seeds, into water on Shabbos? Why should he chayav for such a thing? V'chiten mishum mishum dimekadeach. And if you're going to answer that he's chayav because the Zera is tzomeach b'mayim, and mekadech means that he should be chayav mishum meleches zorea, and he says here that it sprouts. Certain things you put into water, even though they're seeds, they will sprout in the water, and therefore is a melacha of zorea. Ihachi, if that be the case, chiti v'sare nami, if he takes wheat or barley, the same thing should apply. Why do you specifically mention flax seed, zerapishton? It's not only zerapishton, it should be chita yuseorin, chita min seorin. If you take seeds, wheat seeds or barley seeds, and you soak them in water, you should be chaya. And Rava seems to say, no, he's only chaya for zorik zerapishton. What's the difference? And the Gemara answers, hanoch islu rire. That when you talk about zerapishton, the flax seeds, that it has more rear, a kind of a liquid that allows them to adhere one to the other. And from those garinim of chita sa'or that don't have rear, that's going to be very difficult to plant. The reason why it's chayiv in the case of zar'one pishton, when he throws them into the water, is because he is causing them to grow, to sprout. But hanach, in the case of flax seeds, it's because they have this rire, this kind of mucus, that when they are soaked in water, that causes them to stick together. And the Gemara is going to explain that this is going to be a malacha that he violates by making flax seeds stick together. And that only applies to flax seeds exclusively because they have this mucus. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, if this be the case, is Shalchin Nami, or Shlochim Nami, if he places natural hides, Oros She'edo Me'ubodim, they haven't been tanned, and he places them in the water on Shabbos, he should be chayav because some mucus will come out of the hides. So the Gemara answers, Hosom Ka'ovid Lisha, in the case of flax seeds, when he throws them into the water, since this rear, this mucus, as we said, comes out, and the pieces are connected one to the other, one zera to another, that's called a tolda of Meleches Lisha. However, in the case of rearin, which come out of or, and they attach one to the other, that's not a tolda of Lash. And the question is why? What is the difference between the two? Now, Rava says that you're chayiv in the case of sending, when you threw the zerapishton, these flax seeds, you're chayiv mishum lash. In the case where he threw chita siora, he's not chayiv. Let's just summarize this distinction between zerapishton and chita siori. The Gemara says it all depends whether they stick together. And if they stick together, like in the case of flax seeds, then he violates Meleches Lisha. Now Lisha, which in English is roughly translated as kneading with a K, when you take different particles and you integrate them into one whole, that's going to be considered Lisha. And if you put these flax seeds into the water and they begin to coalesce to come, become one single mass, then he violates the Iser of kneading on Shabbos, which is Lisha. Now, in the case of raw hides, when they stick together, that's not kneading. You know, that's not something that reminds you of kneading. So again, if a person wants to place seeds into water on Shabbos, he's not chayiv mishum zorea. He's only chayiv in the case of zerapishton, but not for zorea, but rather for lisha. So if he places wheat or barley in water, then he would not be chayiv. There's no lisha in adherence. There's no adherence here, creating some sort of devik in the case of chitin usiorin and mayim. Doras Rava mutul chavis minol b'shabbos. You're allowed to launder a shoe on Shabbos. Clean it off. Amalei Rav Papa Rav of Amar Rav Chia Barashi Zimnim Sagin Avi Kaimna Kami De Rav Shach Shechei Le Misonei B'maya Shikruch In Aval Kibus Lo. So we see from this whole story, this presentation of Rabbi Chia, that to be Meshach Sheikh, that's one thing, that means rinsing off in water, but Kibus, which goes beyond Shikshuch, which is what we call shifshuf, and it means doing heavy scrubbing, that is a violation of meleches kibus. And the question is, why weren't they matir lechabes eshana olim, eshana layim? So when Rava declared that you're allowed to launder a shoe on Shabbos, implying that everything is motiv in scrubbing, how could that be? Hadar uki Rava mora levidarash. And therefore Rava set up an amora, right? In the public lectures they used to have an amora who was like a foghorn, you know, he would sound off the noise. And through this amora he announced that Dvarim shamarti lifnechen tos hem biyodi, that which I publicly announced is a mistake. Barach kach amru. This is what Chazal say about washing shoes on Shabbos. Shichshuch mutter, kibus osur. You have to qualify. And only rinsing is permitted when you pour the water, but actual scrubbing is prohibited. And there's a kasha here which the Achronim ask. I'll read it to you here in the name of the Bir Halacha. And he says that the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, they all paskin that osu l'chavis minol v'shabis, and they don't clarify that that's only kiskus, that's only serious aggressive rubbing and scrubbing. It would seem that even without kiskus, just rinsing is also. So the Bir Halacha wants to know, our sugi comes to the conclusion that kibus below kiskus is mutter. And on that point, we don't find that Rava changed his mind. That's the kasha of the Bir Halacha. Now again, let's consider the fact that earlier Rav explained that even the Tanakam of the Acherim, again the Acherim maintained that in the case of hard leather there is no possibility of kibus. They agree, however, that in the case of soft leather there's kibus. So when Rav announced in his first round that it's mutter to launder shoes, he must have referred only to hard leather shoes, because in soft leather shoes everybody agrees that there's kibus. So therefore, why did Rav have to reverse his decision? He could have explained that the case of the shoes of Rav, which Rav Chia rinsed off at Shabbos, were made of soft leather. Maybe just the opposite, that when Rav Chia Bar Ashi rinsed the shoes of Rav on Shabbos, they were made of hard leather, and in the case of hard leather there is no kibus. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the Mishnah with regard to Makom Kadosh. There are two mitzvahs that the Mishnah establishes require Makom Kadosh. They have to take place in the Azor. Number one, we're talking about Shviras Kli Cheres, so you cooked a Chatos or whatever the carbon was in a Kli Cheres, and now Yeshover, the Torah requires Shvir, that has to take place in a Makom Kadosh. Now we have Mariku Shtifa, and we're talking about a Kli Nechoshes, some sort of Kli that's made of a metal, and there too, if there was, you don't need Shvir in this case, you can have Mariku Shtifa, meaning you can kasher it, but it has to take place in the Makom Kodesh Minan immediately. What's the source for this? And the answer is the Tana Rabbana, and the Pasuk says, Vayikravav, Asher Yizeh Midama La Beged, Asher Yizeh Aleha Techaveis B'Makom Kodesh. And although this parasha is referring to Kibus Beged B'Makom Kodesh, doesn't say anything about Shviras Kli Cheres, or Mariku Shtifa, but nevertheless Shviras Kli Cheres Minayin, where's the extra ribui for Kli Cheres? Talmud Lomar, that the Pasuk there says, Kli Cheres Asher Tevusha Bo Yishover. And this Pasuk immediately follows after the din of Kibus. And we're going to learn from this contiguity that just to the same extent that Kibus Beged has to take place in Makom Kadosh, so too Shvius Kli Cheres has to take place in Makom Kadosh. Now we have to go a step further. What about Mariku Shtifa B'Kli Nechoshes? A metal Kli is subject to Mariku Shtifa. I mean, how do we know that? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, V'im B'Kli Nechoshes Bushala Umorak V'Shutaf B'Mayim. And this pasuk, which is written right after the pasuk of kibbutz, is telling us that riku shtifa requires a makom kadosh, just like kibbutz beged requires a makom kadosh. The Mishnah says zeh chomer v'chatos, that chatos has a chumra over other kodshei kodshim and it requires kibbutz. So Gemara says v'suleka. The only chumra that you could find that the Mishnah could come up with in chatos is this particular chumra. There are many other chumras. Ha'ika shenichnas dama lifnai v'lifnim, that in chatos we have a possibility. Again, not in all chatos, but let's say chatos pinimios, that there's a zrikas adam in the heichal on the paroches on the mizbech hazov. And we don't find in any other kodshim, even though the kodshim kodshi kodshim, that the dam of the kodesh is, I'm sorry, with regard to other kodshim and even kodshi kodshim, we find that the dam is nizrak on the outer mizbeach. It doesn't go inside the heichal. So why did the Mishnah just mention this chumra, which seems secondary, of ton kibus? There are some more profound differences in terms of chatos. So my answer is, our Mishnah is talking about chatos chitzonios. And in the case of chatos chitzonios, you can't take the dam inside to the heichal. And there's no din of keneged paroches and all the rest. So Gemara now asks chitzonios nami, I'll also find you in the case of chitzonios a bunch of chumras that apply to chatos, that don't apply to the balance of kodshim, shem nichlas dama lifnim psua, that this halacha that the dam goes inside the hechal, it passes the carbon, that applies even to chatos chitzonios, and that's a chumra of chatos above and beyond all other kodshim. That if you take dam chatos, we're talking about a chatos chitzono, and you bring it into the hechal, the carbon is possible. All the domim that went into the Heichal, the carbon remains kosher. So Gemara answers, our Mishnah holds Rav Akiva, the Omer of Akiva back on top, Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis, holds Kol Hadomim, all the dam of all the carbon, Shenichmasu Heichal, Chaper Psulim. So this is not a Chumra of Chatos vis-a-vis other kodshim, because just like to the same extent Chatos, if you bring the dam inside, it's possible. So too in the case of all karbonos, if you take the dam inside the Heichal, it's possible. So Gemara now asks another question. Here's a Chumra in Chatos that you don't find in other kodshim. She came in Chaper Machai Vekrisus. There's no other kodesh that can be Mechaper Machai Vekrisus. So why didn't you mention that chumra? And Gemara answers that our Mishnah is talking about a case of chatos dishmias hakol. It's a karma chatos which a person brings when he takes a shvuah that he doesn't know edus and he really does know edus, and that chatos is not mechaper on avon kares. So you see, it's not fair to say in a flat sentence, an absolute sentence, that chatos is mechaper on chayve krisus, when in fact chatos is mechaper on shmias kol, which has to do with knowing evidence and testimony and denying it, and you took a shvuah to that effect. So this chatos is not being mechaper on an avon kares. There's no mention of avon kares over here. You cannot attribute the chumra, for example, of dam chatas ton kibus from the fact that a chatas chitzona is, the cause of this chumra of kibus is the chumra of kares, because let's take the case of chatas of shmias kol. That's a chatas. Its dam will generate a chiyuv of kibus, and yet it's not about kares. The Gemara gives another possibility. What about shekein to una arba matonos? What's unique about chatos over all other kodshi kodshim is it requires four nesinos on the four chronos of the mizbeach. And that's true in the case of behemos chatos. Four different blood applications. Again, b'dieved, one is enough, and that's likuv. But in other kodshi kodshim, all you need l'chatkila is shtei matanos. So the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Diomar Kol Adonim to Unim Dalet Matanos. All Kodshim require Dalet Matanos. This is back on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. We're about to get to it in our 9:30 class. And Rabbi Yishmael derives from Ola and Asham that both of them require Dalet Matanos B'Dalet Kronos. Now we're talking about the Tzafon Marot, the Tzafon Mizrachis of the Mizbeach, and the Kohen is going to apply the Dam of both Ola and Asham first to the northern side, the Tzafon, and then moving over towards the east, the Mizrach, for two different Asinos. And then he does the same thing at the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. So Chatos is not more strict than any other Kodshei Kodshim, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, the din of Kol Adomim to Unim Dalet Matanos. So we're looking for Chumra and Chatos. That's not going to work out in the light of Rabbi Yishmael Shita, who says Kol Adomim to Unim Dalet Matanos. In other words, there's no chumra of chatas over kachim over kachim kachim. The Gemara says, "Al dalid kronos." The chata still has this chumra that requires dam, the sinus dam, on all four kronos of the mizbeach. In other words, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that the chatas is still more chumra than other kachim kachim, in that its blood has to be given to arba kronos, the other kachim kachim. Require only two nesinos. Each one is called the double nesinos, shtayim shehein arba, but chatos requires dalet kronos. So Gemara challenges the makshan and says, L'taymech, according to your thinking, the Mishnah should have listed all these different chumras that you have mentioned. Then why didn't you mention other possibilities? Did you run out of chumras? Ha'ika keren, Ha'ika etzba, ha'ika chuda. In other words, there's a stringency that the chatas dam requires what we call the keren of the mizbeach, and not only that, the zrikas require the etzba, the kohen, and then there's going to be a chumra that you have to go down the edge of the mizbeach with the dam. Hello, but at the end you're going to have to say Chad Mitrei Tlosa Chumrei Naka. The Mishnah's only mentioned one, or could have mentioned a whole bunch of others. And therefore, don't be bothered by this. And this leads us to the Mishnah now on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amid Beis. This Mishnah is dedicated to the laws of Tumah V'Tara, so we need a couple of introductions. For example, a Kli is not Tumah unless it's absolutely complete, it's a full kli, not broken, in such a way that people would normally use the kli. It's designated for a certain function and they could achieve that function. But if the kli is broken and it becomes shivrei kelim and people would not use it, then in that case it's pakashem kli and it's not makabel tumah. So let's say, for example, you had a kli gadol but it had a nekev. Then that nekev, that hole in the kli, would be metaya the kli, because it's called shivrei kelim. Number two, we should keep in mind that a beged is not roi lekabel tuma in the case of what's called tumas maga, unless it has at least a shear, this beged of gimel al gimel etzbos, that's in its length, and gimel gimel etzbos in its width. So it means even if the beged was makabel tumah, it already was makabel tumah in the past, if now bizman shahayabo shir li tameh, it was nikra, if the kli, the beged was was susceptible to tumah when it had a shear, but then it was ripped, and now each part of the smaller pieces, the strips of cloth, are less than shalosh hasholos etzbosos, then the kli itself, through this keras, through this ripping, becomes tar mitumasa. Another introduction that we need is, if even if there's no beged karua from one side to the other and it's only ripped partially on one side, if it's a rip that reaches most of the length or most of the width of this beged, then it's considered mechubar b'mi'uto mitzido hasheni. In other words, we can judge the beged as if it was completely ripped from one side to the other and it's tar mitumasa. But that's only because it was nishar b'mechubar b'mi'uto mitzido hasheni. Means on one end it's ripped, but on the other end the two parts of this rip are still connected to each other. The beged is considered as if it's ripped from one side to the other because it was rov orko or rov rochbo, so that rip is enough to undermine the status of the beged as a beged, and therefore it becomes tohar mitumas, even though at the time that it came in contact with the sheretz, for example, it was a complete beged. But now the beged is karua in such a way that it's rov arko or rov rochbo, and if the tumah just simply dissipates. So let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah says beged, if let's say we're back to the damchatas that falls on the netiza onto a beged and it requires kibus, sheyotza chutz l'kloim, as we said before, the kibus has to take place in the azara, but in this case, the beged left the azara, so it's outside in the Azara, which has Kedushas Azara. Nichnas, if somebody brought in the Beged and it was brought back into the Azara. So again, first it went out of the Azara, okay, out of the Kedushas Azara. Now it came back into the Azara. So the Mishnah says, "Mechabso b'makom kadosh." In such a case, you require kibus b'makom azor, and that really reflects what we saw in the earlier Mishnah that kibus habeged in the case of nitas ale damchatas has to take place. That kibus must be in a makom kadosh. Nitma chutz l'klayim, the beged now left the Azara, and it became Tomei, which means that he can no longer bring it back into the Azara. We don't bring a beged Tomei into the Azara. And what's he going to do in this case? He wants to mekayim in the midst of kibus, but that requires Azara. But he can't take this beged into the Azara because it's got Tumah, meaning it's Tomei. So the Mishnah says, Koro, he should rip it up first, and then the beggar became tar, and then nichnas u'mechavso makom kadosh. Then he's ready to go inside the azara, and he's in a makom kadosh, and let it fly. Let's be mechavisit b'makom kadosh.
So we're not allowed to bring tumah into the azara, so therefore nitma chutz l'kloim, if the beggar became tamei outside the azara, we're not allowed to bring it back into the Azara. We have to do something to be mafkia the tumah. How do we do that? Nokvo. If he punctures a hole in it, then it loses its status as tumah. Again, what the size of the hole is will be reflected by various functions and so forth and so on. And we have here the following, just to summarize. If a beged that has dam chatos on it left to the azara, then he can bring it back into the azara and do the laundering, do the kibus in the kodesh, as we said before, b'makom kodesh. That's the requirement. Then we said that if it became tamei outside of the Azara, then he's going to rip it in order to remove its tumah. And once he rips it, then nichnas. It could go back into the Azara and he can mekayim the mitzvah of kibus b'makom kadosh. Now the Mishnah is going on to talk about earthenware or metal vessels that we use to cook chatos meat in them. Kli cheres, shiotza chutz l'kloim. Now he's got this earthenware vessel. It's a mitzvah shvira, because chatas was cooked in this earthenware vessel. Now it's outside the azor. He has to do the shvira inside the azor. It's nichnas v'shovro b'makom kadosh. All he has to do is simply bring it back into the azor. But nitma chutz l'kloim, if this kli cheres became tame, and now we can't bring it back into the azor, we said before nokvo, we can puncture a hole in it, and then it loses tumah, and then nichnas, he can bring it inside v'shovro b'makom kadosh. Kli nechoshes yotze chutz l'kloim, and kli nechoshes require marika and shtifa, is nichnas, he's got to bring it back into the azor, marko v'shovro b'makom kadosh. But nitma chutz l'kloim, how does he get rid of the tumah so he can bring it back into the azar for the purpose of mariku shtifa, is pochaso. He somehow breaks it or shortens it or makes it smaller such that it loses its status as tameh. So again, with regard to metal kelim, it's not enough to bore a hole in them. They have to do a more significant breakage, and that's what's called in the Lashon HaMishnah Pochaso. And then v'nichnasu marko v'shofar b'makom kadosh. Now that you remove the tumah, you can bring it back in to the azara. So now maskif le'Ravina. Ravina is going to ask a kash on the Mishnah regarding dam and the tone kibus of dam chatas. In the case where it became tame outside the azara, and the Mishnah says kora'o, all you have to do is rip this garment, and now you read the word koro as a question. Koro, is it really true? You want to rip it and remove its tumah and then bring it back in order to be mekayim in the mitzvah of kibbutz, but kibbutz is only on a beged. Beged of rachmano. With regard to the mitzvah of kibbutz, you need a beged. And once you do this ripping, is lav begedhu. It's not called a beged anymore. It lost its shame, beged. And therefore, you know, you're not able to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibbutz. And where answers the Mishayer Bei Kidei Maforis. And the Mishnah doesn't mean that he rips the garment to pieces, to shreds, but rather he leaves intact a certain amount that's needed for a maforis. A maforis is otherwise known as a sudar. So let's say if the garment is ripped along a part of its length or a part of its width, since he left a significant amount that he needs as a sudar, as a kerchief, and that's attached, then this ripped cloth remains, it retains its chaloshem beged, because in this particular case, he has enough to repair the rip, but on the other hand, the tumah is gone. Aini, the Gemara asks the question, is really the tumah removed from the garment if you leave this amount intact? Kidei et maforis. Vomer Rav Huna lo shanu, when does the Mishnah say that if he didn't leave intact kidei aforis? Lo shanu el shalo shir ba kidei aforis. The theory of the kasha based on Rav Huna is that Rav Huna assumes that if you leave kishir maforis, then the beged remains tameh. So what was the idea of what did you gain here by doing a kriya? You want to be mati, bringing it back into the azor, but it remains tameh. And again, the only reason why we were motivated to say that he was Mishayer Bo Kedei Maforis, as we saw in the Sugya of Ravina, is because we needed to retain the status of a beged for the mitzvah of Ton Kibbutz. But if you do so, then at least according to Rav Huna, you haven't gained anything that would allow you to bring the beged tummy back into the Azor, because if the beged still has Kishir Maforis left over, then in such a case, it remains tameh. And if it remains tameh, you didn't gain anything here, because you wanted to rip it in order to remove the tumah and allow you to bring it back into the azara.
And the Gemara answers Mirabbanan, who knows that which Rav Huna said, that if he's Meshire in the Beg Kedei HaFaros, it's still a Beg Tomei. That's not a Doraisa Halach, that's only Gzeres Chacham. They were afraid that if we would allow this Beggar to remain Tar, even in the case of Shir Bakdei Maforis, then the Bailam are going to come to a situation where they won't be Korea Rubo, and that's absolutely required. That's a Din Torah. But again, as far as the law is concerned on a Doraisa level, if he was Korea Rubo, then the Beggar loses its shame Beggar. As far as Tum is concerned, then it's Tar. And this Beggar, which the Torah commands us to do kibbutz on, b'makom kadosh, it must mean that we retain the shame beged olav. And therefore, in such a case, the chachom are not going to be mamid divrayim, they're not going to say, well, we're going to consider it tameh, and we're not going to allow you to bring it into the azorah. No, they'll step aside, they'll be matir knisa l'azorah, because he did the kriyas rubo, even though he's meshayer kedei maforos, because the shayer kedei maforos is only a tumah locha mid rabbanon, rather than Do'oraisa. The Mishnah said Kli. Here we're going to turn to Daf Tzadi Heyom and Aleph. The Mishnah established that a Kli Cheres Sheyotza Chutz L'Kloim V'Nitma is in order to bring it back into the Azorah. Once it contracted Tumah outside the Azorah, Nokvo, you're going to have to take this earthenware, make holes in them, and then you can bring it inside the Azorah, and there you're going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shvira. So the Gemara asks on the Akash, on this din of the Mishnah, how can you tell me that you could be Menakev, you can make a hole in the Kli, and then you're going to bring it in and break it? The Torah says Kli Omer Achmona. The Torah says you have to break a Kli. Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk of Vayikra Vav, it says Kli Cheres Asher Tevusha Bo Yishaver. So it says Kli Cheres, and in this case he made a Nekev, and if he made a Nekev Lav Kli, it's no longer a Kli. If it's no longer a Kli, it's only a broken piece of a Kli, then there's no longer a Mitzvah Shvira. So what did you gain here? You wanted to take this Kli Cheres Shenitma and bring it back in to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Shvira, but once you accomplish your goal of removing Tumah, you also remove the shame Kli, and if you remove the shame Kli, then there's no longer a Mitzvah Shvira. And the Gemara answers, Shenikev B'Shoresh Katan, that the volume or the size of this nekev was what's called the shear of a shoresh katan, and in such a nekev, such a shear of a nekev, although it becomes tar from its tumah, which allows you to bring in the azor, but nevertheless the mitzvah of shvira should still apply because the shame kli is still retained. So this is a kind of a tzvei dinim. There are two different dinim. A theory of relativity, so to speak, as far as removing tumah is concerned, if you have a shear of a nekev, which is very minimum, it's called a shorish katan, and nevertheless that's enough through that nekev to remove and mafkir the tumah, and you can bring it in the azara. But then now we have another din, as far as mitzvah shvir is concerned, since this nekev is only a shorish katan, therefore it still retains its shame kli, and as such you'd be allowed to be mekayim the mitzvah of shvira. The Mishnah established that in a case of a Kli Nechoshes, if it went out of the Azorah and it became Tameh, is Pochaso. He's got to do some sort of serious cutting down of the size of the Kli, and then he brings the Kli inside. It no longer has its status as a Tameh, and he does the Mariku Shtifa B'makom Kadosh. So Gemara asks on this Mishnah, how do we know that if he pierces it with a neck of Gadol, and then he can be mamarik v'shtfer, he can do mrik and shtifa, kli amar achman of olav kli. If he does such a fundamental pochaso, to the extent that he drills a neck of gadol, and that's the way he's going to be mafkir tumah, then at the same time he defeated himself, because how's he going to do the mriku shtifa b'mokum kadosh? The Torah says him kli nechoshes busholu morak v'shutav b'mayim. Obviously it's a kli that we need, and here it's no longer a kli because the nekev is such a nekev gadol that it loses its status as a kli. It's a shever kli but not a kli, and memel is no mitzvah mriku shtifa. And the Gemara answers the rotziv meratziv. After he does this pochaso of the kli, then he takes a hammer and he gives a smack on the dofen kli around this nekev, and that's called liradadam. So in other words, he really just removes the shame kli,
and the tumah of the kli by making a nekev bishorish katan, and he punctures with a hole the size of a small root, and then what happens? As we said earlier, as far as the kli cheres in the sugya before, although it removes the tumah, nevertheless it still retains its shame kli. Now, in our case that we're discussing now of kli nechoshes, the Gemara again asks if you're going to breach the kli with pochaso, then it's going to lose its shame kli. Again, it loses its tumah, but it doesn't have shame kli, and therefore how are you going to mekayim the mitzvah of mariku shtifa be'azara? And the Gemara answers the ratzif maratzif. So as we said before, he hammers the breach closed, and only afterwards does he do marika and shtifa. So basically he's doing a process and he's reversing the process by doing the pochaso maisa. Therefore he breaches the kli in such a way that it's no longer it no longer retains its tumah and it loses its shame kli. But nevertheless what he does now with the hammer is that he closes this breach, he restores now the shame kli to the kli in such a way that now he's able to fulfill the mitzvah of umarak v'shutaf b'mayim. Now the Gemara brings a din that's connected to our Mishnah. Amrei Shlokish Me'il, the Me'il, which is worn by the Kohen Gadol, and if, let's say, there was an etiza of Dam Chatas on the Me'il, then it went outside of the Azara, and Nitma, it became Tomei outside of the Azara, which means that in order to get it back into the Azara, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kibus, we're going to have to rip the garment. However, we can't rip this garment like we would do to other garments that became Tomei. And we'll see exactly why later on. So therefore, what we're going to have to do is, while this Me'il is complete, you know, you don't rip it, it's in its full-fledged state, is Machniso, you could bring it in a very slow kind of a way into the Azara. And it has, again, Dam Balua in this Begit, but he's going to bring it in Pachos Misholosh Al Sholosh. So there's a blia, there's an absorption of this dam of chatas in the beged, and b'mokom sheshiuro yosem misholosh al sholosh etzbos. So the beged has the size that's necessary to be a shame beged for kabbalas tuma, but when he brings it in to the azara, he brings it in pachos misholosh al sholosh mimenu. He never brings in at one fell swoop the shear of a beged tummy into the azara, and therefore he circumvents the violation of bringing something tome into the Azara, and now he can be mechabesit, and once he does the kibus, he removes that place where there is dam, then chozer umachnis pocho shol shal sholosh meachelik shadayin lo kubas umachabso umotso. So before we delve a little bit more into the Eitzah here, the recommendation of Reish Lakish of how to get it back in for the mitzvah of Kibus, let's just talk about the fact that in this case of the Me'il, we cannot rip the Me'il. So that's in the next few words of Reish Lakish. Mishum shenemar lo yikarea. There's a separate pasuk in Shmos that tells us that we're not allowed to rip the garment in the case of the Me'il. Again, even though it's Tomei at this particular moment. So that option of ripping the Me'il to be Mafkir the Tumah is not an option. But what you can do is, imagine there's one place on the Me'il, one spot of Dam. He could take this Dam, that part of the Beged called, you know, where the Dam is, the stain is, and he could bring it into the Azor, Pochos Pochos Mi Sholosh Al Sholosh Etzbos. We mean, the shear of a Beged, as we said, is always Sholosh Al Sholosh. And now he's bringing into the Migdash a Beged Tomei, but he's bringing in less than Sholosh Al Sholosh. And therefore he hasn't violated the issur of taking a kli tame into the Azara, unless he brings it in its entirety, which he's not bringing the kli in its entirety. So if he brings it in
in sections of three finger breadths, that would be a problem. He would violate the prohibition of bringing a beggar tummy into the Azara. But if he brings a smaller part, then all he has to do is do a kibbutz on that smaller part that's less than shalosh hashoshim and has the dominant, the stain in it. Then he removes it and he brings it to the next section, the next part of the beged. In other words, once he removed the dam from that particular section, that part of the beged, which is smaller than shalosh al shalosh, he's already been mekayim the mitzvah of kibbutz. And then what he does is he's going to remove that part of the beged, sort of like swirl it around, that part of the beged that he did kibbutz on. Then he could bring in another section, which is only a part of the beged, and it's again less than shalosh al shalosh. So there's no moment in time where the entire beged is inside the Azara as a complete beged. And therefore he, on the one hand, has fulfilled his mitzvah of kibbutz, but at the other hand, he has not violated the isur of bringing a beged tameh into the Azara. And all this is based on the fact that he brings it in less than gimel al gimel, pochus mishalosh al shalosh u'mechabzo. Okay, we'll stop here in Mirtz Hashem. So we're halfway here on this very short Tzadi Heim and Aleph, and we're up to Mosiv Rav Ado Bar Ava, which we'll pick up in the middle of Tzadi Heim and Aleph tomorrow.